Welcome to Behind the Beard. Today it's Lewis Anderson and myself here, and we have a special guest, Lewis.
Who would that be, Mike?
That would be Owen football coach John Faircloth. Coach, welcome back.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Second time here. Year two. Take us through year one. How you feel it went?
It's hard to tell, you know, what other people's perspectives were, but just, you know, I got hired February 1st of 24 was my first day on the job. And from that point to now, has gotten a lot better. You know, it's still not where it needs to be, where we want it to be, but, you know, we're progressing, right? And that is, you know, to keep perspective is very critical when you're going through a rebuild, right? Like sometimes you get a little naive and delusional on stuff. But, you know, when I got there on February 1st, there was 10 kids in the football weight training class. I had to run upstairs and find the freshman PE class and find three more guys, you know, to jump in it. You know, it was awful, you know. And, you know, we keep building and adding and subtracting and, you know, trying to put a square peg over here and it don't fit there. We move it over here and just, you know, just going through the whole process of everything. But we're progressing. We're getting better. If you would have told me this time last year that we were even going to get a first down or make somebody punt, I would have told you that you were crazy, you know. And then, you know, we win a game, you know, like we actually won a game. And, you know, we played four games that were separated by 6 points, you know, so we were there. And that's all a testament to the kids, right? Like, you get your skull beat in a couple times, you know, and you haven't had success in the past few years. And they just kept grinding, man. They believe in what we're doing and they know that it's a process. And, you know, they're not listening to noise. They're keeping blinders on, staying focused. And, you know, again, you lose, you know, you play four games that separated by 6 points. Yeah, I think we did fairly well, you know.
So you touched on it, 1-8 overall. Your last three games, the margin of in the game was 4 points total. You were 1-2 in those games.
Mm-hmm.
ACA, epic game. We'll talk about that a little more. Lewis and Carson, Pat, all and I were at that game. That was a fantastic game. It seemed at the end of the year you kind of hit your stride a little bit, played some better football. Won a game. Is that going to help you going forward to this year? Do you think you built a little momentum?
Well, I think it gives you confidence, right? Like you're in a game that gives you confidence, and then you're exposed to a situation, right? Like, it's a little off topic, but I've been blessed in that everywhere I've been except for one place had a losing record the year before I got there. Right. So I don't know what I'd do if I walked through a door of a 10-2 team.
I was going to say, that's a blessing. You don't want to take over a good team.
Well, like what I'm getting at, right, and not sound like arrogant or nothing, is I know the process of what we need to accomplish, right? Like the mindset that we need to have. And kind of step two of that is losing close games. You know, and going from step two to step three is winning close games. So our guys kind of got a taste of both those spots at the end of the year, you know, which was a little bit ahead of where I thought we would be.
You probably didn't have on your bingo card Hurricane hits Western North Carolina either. Arguably, Fairview and Swannanoa hit the hardest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those roads out there, even heading to the school, were gone. You had some players lose a house. What was that like kind of going through that process?
Well, you know, for starters, you know, I grew up on Eastern North Carolina. So like I've been around hurricanes.
We don't normally see them in Western.
Yeah. America. Yeah. So, you know, that was part of the thing about moving to the mountains, right? Is I wouldn't have to deal with that. And I tell my wife all the time, I'll probably go to my grave as one of my biggest regrets is not taking it seriously. You know, like I've seen worse, you know, but then when you factor in all the valleys and creeks and rivers and, oh yeah, then you got mud, you know, that, and it don't go up, it goes down. And, you know, I was very poorly prepared, and I was very fortunate where I lived that we were okay. I just had some damage to my driveway, but, you know, a lot of people lost a lot of stuff, man, and the valley was hurt, and it's sad. You still drive through the valley, and you can see places that look like the storm happened a week ago, you know? So it's going to be a long process, and that's why we felt like it was really important to get back to playing as soon as possible, just to try to take that Band-Aid off, right? Like try to be part of the healing process. But, you know, it's tough because different things, right? You know, I had a tree go down in my driveway. That's it. Other than that, my property was fine. My family was fine. You know, and then you got people that lost loved ones and lost homes. And, you know, so it's very extreme perspectives there. And it's very hard to navigate. Like, you know, when you're getting in the world of coaching and even as a teacher and an educator, like that's not part of the curriculum you're learning, is how to handle that stuff, you know? So it was tough, you know, but hopefully we were a small part of moving forward.
I mean, absolutely. That game with ACA, I mean, that, in my opinion, we talked about it with Coach Pruitt last week, bringing football back was healing for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
It helped us get away from, hey, you know, this is going on, this is bad, this is, hey, football.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people love football in this area.
Absolutely. And some other coaches have talked about the same thing, where like their community and everything needed to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And anything you felt on that?
Yeah. You know, I felt it was the same way. And I'm trying not to sound like, you know, not being sensitive to the subject. Right. Again, I know a lot of people had it a lot worse than I did. But to me, it was, how fast can we get back to normal? You know, it felt COVID-ish. And I think I heard Rodney say that, like, it kind of felt COVID-ish. Like, how fast can we get back to what we do? And I thought that was very important in the healing process, you know?
Yeah, those seniors had COVID and a hurricane.
Yeah.
And your seniors had three head coaches during that time.
And no middle school football.
Yeah.
It wasn't pleasant, you know. Again, definitely don't want to downgrade the importance of it and what happened, but just trying to get some football in, man. And, you know, that was kind of the thing, is we felt like we were starting to play a little bit better. We were starting to click. And then we have a 5-week layoff, right? Yep. And, hey, congratulations. You get to take a trip to Mitchell for your first game after a 5-week layoff, you know? So that wasn't very fun. But then we were, like, we needed that. We needed to get back to progressing, right, of still understanding what the longevity part of building this program is, you know. And then we were able to ring off some close games. I think we played 3 games in 11 days, which wasn't the most enjoyable time of my life. But
that's normally how we do football, right? 3 and 11?
Oh, yeah. I would say one thing about that time period. If you remember, we all met up at like the old Athens place. Mm-hmm. And like that was kind of the first time that half of the team was together. And like that time period, like, yeah, you know, I've texted you, but now I get to see that you're okay. Mm-hmm. And we're all together. And pretty much after that point, I don't think there wasn't a day that a lot of the boys wasn't together.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, especially with a smaller team like Owen, that brotherhood and all that, like having each other's back. And I mean, I feel like that helped those guys so much to get to those close games.
Yeah, I mean, we sat in that parking lot for 30, 45 minutes just talking.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that was a cool experience just to see some guys. And, you know, you're exactly right. Like, my kids get sick of hearing me talk about it. Like, your culture has got to be the most important thing. Your culture. Like, if you're, it just, your culture will help you get to where you need to be. It will help you sustain where you need to be. Like, what is your culture? Like, and I encourage young guys all the time, like, you're going out looking for a job or you're getting recruited, you need to ask about the culture. What's the culture? Like, and don't ask the guy who gets paid to tell you that the culture's great. You know, I think about it, you know, I hate it when people tell me that they're competitive. That's a pet peeve of mine when people say, like, I'm competitive, or right? Like, so, like, you got to be able to show me that. Like, don't, you know, you should see in my actions that I'm a Christian. You should see in my actions that I love my family. Like, you know, and that's the same thing goes with a football culture. Like, people need to be able to see that. Like, that's got to be a visualization that people are like, dag, like, those guys are tight, and they love playing together, you know?
Was there ever a time you thought we might not play football again? 2 weeks in, I told Lewis, I said, we're done. He's like, yeah, I think you're right. Buncombe County will not play football again.
I didn't.
And it almost felt like everybody else had left us. Like, Hendersonville's playing, you know, everybody else in the state's playing, and we're like.
I'm going to be honest. It didn't really cross my mind that was going to happen. I mean, I was hearing a lot of, like, worst-case scenarios, but our administration did a good job of, like, keeping us in the loop with what's going on. Hey, they're talking about this date. This might happen. We may have to play games at these locations and do this, and this is what it's going to look like. So, honestly, maybe I was naive in it. That really didn't cross my mind. I kind of felt like if we got to a place where we could get kids in the building, we were going to be fine. And even in our situation, and don't go throwing John Fairclough's name to the rumor mill or nothing, but I think there was, like, even some talk of, like, hey, if we can get this building open, we may go virtual for 2 or 3 days and then go into a class. You know, it was like there's so many scenarios that were thrown out. I felt confident that people were working to get us into that situation. But hey, newsflash, big problem. There's no longer a road that goes to Owen High School. You know, like,
that could be a problem.
Like, no road.
It was the first time a prison was good for us.
Oh, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Like, so a little side story, and we don't have to spend the whole time talking about Hurricane Helene. That morning when we woke up, right, like, I'm like, I got to get a hold of Coach Pittman at Mitchell and tell him, like, we can't play this game. Like, we were supposed to play that night, and I'm like, I got to get a hold of him because he's going to be mad at me if we don't show up. And so I, like, find this random guy who has service, right? Like, he has, like, some, I don't know, like, radio thing. He can, you know. So I call Sam Pittman on that guy's number and leave a message. And I'm like, hey, man, I know you don't know this phone number, but this is John. We ain't playing tonight. I'm just letting you know. I'll call you back when I got to say. So I hang up, and I'm like, well, I don't know how to get a hold of my players. I'm like, so I'll just go to the school. And as they show up, you know, and my wife was with me, and we hit that turn, and there was like, there are two times in my life where I can remember being, like, speechless. Like, not having words. And that was one of them. Like, to see the streetlight dangling 2 feet from a river that was running over a road, and seeing a car in the, like going through the garage and the debris against the prison. I'm sitting there, and I think we finally, like, broke the silence. I'm like, I think they'll get the message. like, I think they'll understand that we're not playing when they see this. So
Luke was supposed to play on a Saturday, and we drive to the school on Friday. I'm like, we got to see what's going on. I mean, there's no communication, but I'm like, a lot of kids live there. Maybe they're playing. Mm-hmm. We drive under trees and over power lines. People are like, where are you going? We get to the school, they're all on the football field just hanging out. The whole student body, because they don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
They know they got no power, but they don't know what's going on in the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, Coach, one thing we ask every coach, tell us about your staff. I mean, it looked different than it did last year?
No, I mean, pretty similar. You know, we still got, you know, Coach G is going to be calling the offense again, working with the O-line, year two for him. Coach Evans, you know, still going to be hanging out with the quarterbacks, maybe taking a little bit bigger role on the defensive side. Jack Slaughter's still around. Like, the whole staff stayed intact. We didn't lose anybody. I think we're going to bring Calvin Cross out of retirement. You know, he coached at Owen for, close to 10 years or something like that, 8 years. Works at the community high school, played ball at Mars Hill. Going to help us out on the defense side a little bit. We'll gain him after summer school ends. But staff stays intact, you know. Again, that's a big part of the culture, right? You know.
Well, that's a nice segue. You were talking about the culture earlier, and I remember when I come through, I had Coach Ford, and like his culture was kind of always like, we're the underdogs, right? Everyone's out to get us. I remember he told us this one story, like B.B. Barnes or somebody was giving every high school all the fertilizer they thought they needed,
yeah,
right?
Oh, yeah, I've heard this story, yeah.
Yeah, and he went, and the Owens palette had like 2 bags or something on it. Well, Reynolds was right beside him, and they had like 30 bags. Well, he just swapped the names on the tags.
Yeah.
And took all the fertilizer.
It has
right?
to be true because you're about the fifth person that's told me that story.
Sure.
So it doesn't have to be true. Kenny Ford just told it more than once.
Absolutely. So what is your guys' culture? What culture are you trying to build out there?
So, you know, whether you're talking about like the end game stuff or you're talking about like the family atmosphere, right? Like we're preaching being tough, right? Like not physically tough necessarily, that comes with it, but you know, like mentally tough, like understanding what does one play at a time like really mean? Like what does that really mean, right? You know, we want to be competitive, and our kids are the ones that kind of talk about it. Like, look, we really don't – we care, but we don't care. If we're beating someone 48-rock or we're getting rocked 48-rock, you know, like, we want people to understand that for 48 minutes, like, we're coming for your jugular.
So there's something that you say before a game about 48 minutes.
Yeah.
I love it, by the way. I mean, that's a great saying, right? Like, yeah. Like physical violence is legal, right?
It is.
Right?
It's the only sport where you can literally commit assault and battery. Like, yeah. If you looked up the definition of assault and battery,
right?
That's every football play. And nobody is coming to get you.
So what's the actual saying?
You got to be part of the fraternity to know it.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know, it's funny. You know, we've got the POTA phrase,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh,
like
yeah.
The POTA's getting printed on everything, which the kids love. And this morning at 7-on-7, and I stole this from one of our kids. I've never done this. I can't remember if it was Steven or Ty Lewis or somebody earlier this summer. Somebody asked him from another team, was like, hey, what does POTA mean? And he's like, you got to be part of the fraternity.
That's awesome.
And so this morning, we're getting ready for the 7-on-7, and this coach walks up to me, and he's like, Coach, what does POTA mean? I'm like, it's kind of a fraternity thing, man. We just – it's pray over them all, you know? So it's cool that the kids are kind of like I never told them to do that.
Sure.
You know, like they're taking on that ownership. But to answer your question, paraphrasing, I tell them the reason that there's a fence around the football field. I tell them that assault and battery is legal and, you know, a couple other choice words and we go, you know, so it's kind of it.
Like it. I like it. So we talked about your staff, players. What you got coming back, players to watch. Maybe a player we haven't heard of that is going to make an impact this year.
You know, I honestly, you know, we only had 3 seniors.
That's good.
I'm about to tell you the problem with that. We only had 3 seniors, and only one of them was a 2-way starter. So, I mean, they all contributed, but so technically we should be returning like 9 starters on both sides of the ball. But you know, my freshman group that was coming up was fairly large. You know, we had about 18, 19 freshmen last year, and there's about a dozen of them that have had a phenomenal off season. So it's getting a little harder to determine what we're going to look like. Like, I'm just being honest with you, and we've got to get that sorted out before August 22nd is like, who's going to be the starting Will linebacker? Like, I got three guys that I feel confident in putting at Will linebacker, but like nobody's really like separating themselves, you know? So we've got a lot coming back. You know, year two in the system, we've got everything in. We're just trying to figure out who we're going to be. Like how are we going to, not who we're going to be, but how are we going to do it? Right. Like I told you guys before we went on air, there's no identity crisis at Owen. Like, we're going to run the triple. That's what's going to happen.
Wait, you're not going to be in the shotgun throwing 300 a game?
No. if we throw the ball 10 times, it is not on purpose. Like something bad has happened.
You're not going to be like ACA, I guess you guys, throw it for 60 times?
No, that's not going to be us, man. Going back to the culture, right? Like, we kind of like turning things into a bar fight. Like, you know, that's Steven Anderson's favorite phrase. Like, he just hooked on to it. So we brought in a team psychologist. We brought in a sports psychologist. We had our first meeting last week, and she was going over that stuff, and she asked Steven, like, you know, what do you like most about football? He's like, I love playing in the rain. I love turning it into a bar fight. Like, just told her flat out, like, I love turning it into a bar fight. And so it ain't us, man. And if you watch us in a 7-on-7, after about three plays, you're going to be like, yeah, you guys don't need to be in a shotgun. Y'all don't need to do that.
So you mentioned Steven. Every time I read a Citizen Times article, they talk about Steven Anderson could be one of the best returning players in West North Carolina at running back.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good player, you know, and he makes us go, and he's fun to be around.
I've heard his dad is kind of a jerk, though.
You know, you got to watch his dad from time to time.
100%.
I shared this. I'm a dinosaur. Okay, in the fact that I don't do TikTok, I don't do none of that stuff. Like, I don't have an Instagram account. I don't do none of that stuff.
And you're a rather younger, you're a younger guy, right?
So I'll get back to that. Don't ADD me right now, but you know.
Okay, go ahead.
So I found this the other day. Like, I'm a big quote guy. Like, coaching's legalized stealing, right? So, and I shared this with Steven. I said, it was a quote of the day from somebody that says, pressure is a privilege. It means things are expected of you. Right. And I love that. Right. Like he's got to understand you have worked hard enough to gain this recognition. So one of two things is going to happen. You're either going to get fat and happy and not exceed those expectations, or you're going to understand that pressure is a privilege, right? And now you're going to exceed expectations. But to get back to why I don't have all that, I was raised by grandparents, man. Like, I didn't have cable television until I went to college.
Did you have to get up and turn the channel?
Couple times. I remember the rabbit ears, you know? I don't know. It ain't me. I don't like that stuff.
Which, I mean, if you read all the reports and everything, that stuff is like killing us mentally.
You know, so this is my opinion on it, right? Like, this is a fun game I like to play. I'll go up to a young person at school and be like, all right, if you broke down leaving the parking lot today, what's the first thing you do? Everybody instantly, I'd call my mom. I'd call my dad. All right, your cell phone's dead. What are you going to do? Oh, the sheer panic of people. Like, but, and I say that in this, right? Like, I think that kids are so intelligent now because they have so much knowledge at their fingertips, but I do think it hurts their critical thinking skills.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I think 100%. That's where it hurts is their critical thinking skills. And Yeah, I'm not going to say like I don't do technology and Facebook and all that stuff, but I can admit this, like I used to be really bad of like comparing my life to people. Like I'd see, you know, people on a beach somewhere. I'm like, I don't want to do that. Like, I don't want to be out here doing this. And it is toxic to me, right? Nobody ever puts bad things on Facebook.
No.
You know, so like.
They put their best stuff on.
Yeah. So I like cut it out of my life about 8-10 years ago. And just, I tell you what's great. I do have Facebook for one reason, and that is birthdays. It has saved me million times on somebody's birthday.
Hopefully not your wife's.
No, I remember that one. That one's locked.
What is it, Coach?
That would be June 27th.
Hey, I'm going to cut that out.
Don't try to get me now.
I'll cut that out.
No, hey, she was smart, man. We got married 2 days before her birthday. So, like, I put, like, they're right beside each other. I can't mess them up. But I've been hitting the head so much, some years I'll forget which one's first and which one's second.
So, looking at your schedule, non-conference, you got Rosman, Cherryville, Patton, and West Henderson. A little different than last year.
Well, super glad we still have Rosman in there.
Yeah. I mean,
even though they're not in our conference anymore.
So, and I heard, and I went back and listened to a couple of you guys' podcasts because, you know, I like to prepare myself for questions. I knew the scheduling question was coming up. Yeah, it's always coming.
How many no's did you get? That's the question. How many no's?
So I'll start with this. When we sat down with realignment was so hard this year because, like, we kind of felt like we knew where we were going to fall with the conference, but the state was so late in traditionally when they're coming out with it, right? So, like, people were in mad dashes trying to, like, find opponents and stuff. And we were kind of blessed that in all three of the flips or changes or whatever, ours really didn't change. We kind of felt like it was going to stay the same. So we kind of got spoiled in that a little bit. But when I was looking at the schedule, when I sat down at the end of the year and was thinking about it, and I want to make sure I phrase this right, but my objective was to play people that were similar size to us. So I looked at what 1A to 4A was going to look like, right? And because on paper, Team X may have gone 2-8. And yeah, that may be compatible with Owen, you know, that it would be a good game. But that, if that Team X has 1,200 kids in their building, it's not, you know.
Which, by the way, how many does Owen have?
I heard we were just above 6 going into this year, right? Like, if this was a realignment year, we would have dropped to 2A.
Mm-hmm.
And which that is what it is. That's going that's going to fluctuate. But, like, I'm not dumb, right? Like, I've got Team X, you know, that went 4-6 and is going to be a 2A school, and Team Y that went 4-6 is going to be a 7A school. Come on, man.
Sure.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, I made a decision with our week 4, right? And love Paul over at West Henderson. Such a great dude. And
he is a good dude.
He is a phenomenal human. And I just, like, love how honest he is about stuff. And Paul's been there. You know, like boys, like, he had to grind to get to where he's at right now. That whole pressure is a privilege thing, right? Like, and he stuck it out. He grinded, and I salute him. Like, he's getting his benefits right now, you know, like with the teams that he's had the past couple of years. So I felt it was important to have West Henderson, even though they don't fit any of those things I just mentioned of, but that's going to be a game where let's see where we're at. Like, let's see who we are.
It'd be a good measuring stick.
It'd be great, right? And if we lose 49 Rock, we were supposed to. It's West Henderson. But if we can go out there and compete, and we've had 3 games to see where we're at, now when we roll into conference play, you know, we've had some time to tweak some stuff.
So with your non-conference, I got to ask this question. That ACA game was phenomenal last year.
Mm-hmm.
Was there any thought of putting ACA back on the schedule?
Okay. So I'm going to give you the lowdown, and I'm going to tell you the honest truth, and I'm going to take all responsibility. Okay?
We already dubbed it as the Battle of the Valley, and then you gave it up.
Well, so we had talked with ACA about continuing that game.
Who has a new coach.
Yes. We had spoken with them. We had planned it for week four. We had talked through it. It felt good. I made the decision. So nobody else, it wasn't anything against them or nothing. And I don't care to break down my thought process with it. But, at first, and again, they're all rumors, right? It's all speculations. Like I'm hearing, hey, they may not have a team. They graduated this many guys off of this roster. Like they're only having this many kids. Like they're not going to have a team. So I'm hearing that for a while, right?
You don't want to have a second open week.
Yeah. You know, you're running a risk right there, right? So I'm hearing that. And then, they hire their coach, who was a great hire. Like they really hit a home run with that hire. Good dude. I met him at a 7-on-7. Then again, rumors is, they've got this guy transferring and this guy's coming in and this guy. And I got to the point, John Faircloth got to the point, nobody else, where I was like, you know what? It's not my house. I don't know what's going on, but there's too much heat around it. Because everything that I'm hearing is we're either going to get Wally mopped or they ain't going to have a team. So I'm like, let's just back up and punt. Let's find somebody, no pun intended there. And, let's find somebody else who's going to be a little bit safer of a bet for us. Try to give these guys a heads up so that they can find a game, and we're still playing them in other sports, but it just, I am responsible for making the best decisions for Owen football. And so I did. Nobody held my hand on that. That was my decision. And, it is what it is.
Are you open to playing them in the future?
I am. I'm very open. Yeah.
If they get a team together, they got a decent year, you'd be willing to play them.
Yeah. It's not like
that was such a good game.
Yeah. It's not like a sweet. Well, it was a good finish, but I appreciate your words.
Well, let's just say zero defense, either side.
Yeah. I mean, again, you're in year one of the program and you're playing the hand that you're dealt, right? Like,
it was two totally different offenses.
They
polar opposites.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And the place was packed.
And the crazy thing was, man, is like their objective was to get us out here. Like that, it took you 2 minutes of watching the game. They were going out here. They wanted no part of this. And we were vice versa. We were wanting to go here. I think both of us, if we really sat down, we said, "Man, we both probably should have had better defensive game plans."
Yeah, but I mean, obviously the best team won.
See, I was just ready to go home. People forget that game was on a Tuesday night.
Yeah, yeah.
I was tired.
The quarterback goes to Reynolds. I asked Coach Long, said, "You have to teach him how to hand off because they never hand the ball off. Mm-hmm.
They did a little tap pass.
Yes.
Which honestly, if that's your style, that's not the worst idea because
for sure.
You're going to see a fumbled exchange once a game. Yep. Now, if they do it, it's an incomplete pass.
That's right.
So what's your thoughts on your new conference? You got Polk, Avery, Mitchell.
Adding Hendersonville.
Hendersonville, Madison, yeah. And Mount Heritage.
I mean, I got some experience with Hendersonville and Polk from when I was down at RS Central. So I know those guys, pretty well, know their head coaches. Good dudes, year two with some of the other coaches. Offensively, you're going to see some really unique styles, Mitchell and Heritage are going to be a little bit similar in the wing T-ish, with the gun and pulling people and putting gaps in different situations. Polk's going to try to get you into some spacing issues and a lot of hot reads and stuff. Hendersonville's just got, they're playing basketball on grass. It's unique, right? Everything's unique. Defensively, when you look at it, right, a lot of people are very similar. I think I could be wrong. Someone's going to, you know, hit me about this, but I think we're only going to see one odd front in our conference unless somebody just, like, changes.
Who knows what Tipton's going to do at Madison? He may have balls, bats, and gloves out there. He's a baseball coach.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows?
Oh, if there's one game you're looking forward to, what would it be?
Oh, man, you can't. I mean.
He's saying this with a grin just so that everyone knows.
You don't have to name a game.
Listen. Okay, I'm going to say this. Ohio State needs Michigan.
100%.
The Red Sox need the Yankees.
Yep.
Okay. Like, you need that. You've got to have that.
Yep, you absolutely do.
And I have respect for those guys. Their kids work hard. They're tough. All that. Obviously, you'd like to win them all. But that one would be pretty special.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Wait, nobody said which one we're talking about?
Oh, we know.
You two may know.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
We just got a bunch of secret, like, you know,
y'all have secret stuff. I mean,
yeah, I'd love to beat Madison. But like, and it's not necessary. Like, I think our kids are very similar. Like, they're tough kids.
Oh, absolutely.
Their kids know where the fishing holes are. Our kids know where the creeks are. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, if you looked at the two teams, like, you would say, like, yeah, they're built very similar, right? Like, and, you know, I went to Mars Hill. You know, I know people in that community still. And, you know, so, yeah, you know, it's fun. Like, it's not like a, you know, an our world versus their world. It's, I think, because there's so many similarities, you want to have it. And I think I don't want to speak for them, but I think our kids enjoy knowing, like, hey, we want to beat these dudes. You know, like, this is a rivalry we can be competitive in, and, like, we really want to beat these guys. So, yeah, it'll be a fun game. Looking forward to it. And it's one of those games, you know, like, and coaches that listen will know what I'm talking about. Your whole objective in pregame is to get your team here for kickoff. That one is the other direction. You're trying to bring them down so that they don't exert their energy and get too amped up, do something dumb in the first 4 minutes, you know,
sure.
Before kickoff.
So your conference is a split conference.
Mm-hmm.
Can you break it down? Who is which? Hey, do you know?
Oh, I'm God. Sure you know. Yeah,
who do you have to beat to win your half of the conference?
Oh, shoot. I know Heritage is in it. I know Heritage is 3A. I'm being honest. I could not accurately, like, split them up. You know, I think Avery's a 2A, but, you know, I couldn't tell you. It doesn't
matter, right?
Not really.
But, I mean, you approach each week like, hey, we have to beat this dude, whether they're in our conference or not.
Yeah, you got to. I mean, you're focused on the little things, right? Like, you still got to win the turnover of a battle. You're still trying to win the field position battle. You're still trying to be better than them on third and fourth downs on both sides of the ball. So, you know, how do we get in those? How do we win those situations, you know?
So last year, you said a few things you wanted to do. One was establish a culture. Mm-hmm. I really feel like you've done that. Number two was, like, integrate the youth league, start mm-hmm. building. I mean, because you have to build for your future.
You do.
You're obviously planning on being here for a while. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you guys were here, what, 4 or 5 years before?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
And you traveled. You obviously want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
So how's all the other stuff going?
It's been so, like, zeroed in on getting on building that foundation, right? Like, we finally got the youth program at the high school now. They're practicing at the high school.
Yeah, they're doing the camp this week.
Were they not there before?
They were not there before. But we've got them moving forward. They're practicing there three times a week at the high school, right? So, like, that's awesome, right? We're year two of Coach Owen B being down at the middle school, right? Like, so I feel like the past 365 days was just getting pieces in the right spot. And I think we've done a decent job with that of, like, getting it laid out, right? And, again, just feeling like we're progressing, you know? Feeling like we're progressing, but being realistic with where we're at. I think that's important, you know, like, because when you go from 10 kids in weight training when you first get there to 36 kids in weight training, you're like, hey, we're doing pretty good. But, you know, it's like life, right? Like, everybody assumes you start here and whoever works the hardest gains the most. And it's not true. Like, some people start here, right? So we can't be delusional. Like, we've worked our butts off to get from here to here, just where everybody else started. But it looks like we've done this, you know? I mean, so, and that's been my problem recently, right? Is stay in focus, stick to the process, have your blinders on, and this thing will work out.
So, obviously, I get a unique view of you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a parent. I'm your biggest critic.
Is it the backside because he's always coaching the field?
Shut up. All right. So
he does kind of sit up in the top of the bleachers kind of creepily. You know?
It's creepy, I'm sure. He's a creepy guy.
I sit on the visitor side.
He does. That's what even makes it creepier.
Only because it's the shade.
Are we talking about during practice?
Yeah. During practice.
Okay.
But anyway, so there's a couple things you mentioned. One being, you know, the steps you talked about, 1, 2, 3, or 4,
mm-hmm.
success rate.
Yep.
Last year you said, you know, you kind of were in 2, you've seen a little bit of 3, right?
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
This year going forward, where do you feel like we're in 3? Are we still in 2? Are we going to 3?
I'm not going to know that answer, you know, like I'm not going to know that answer, you know, for a couple more weeks, honestly. It's, again, I have to coach a little bit different at Owen, right? Like, and I'm always honest with our kids. I was honest with them this morning, like, whether they wanted to hear it or not, like, I'm going to tell you where we're at. Okay. And, you know, like, everybody talks about, like, analytics and, you know, like, all these numbers and stuff. Like, I'm going to be real. Like, yeah, I talk to my kids about that stuff. Like, because, like, guys, we're not good enough to be -2 in takeaways and win on a Friday night. We're just not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not there yet. So, that okay, we got to be +2 in takeaways. And you can hear our kids even in 7-on-7, like we're only +1. We're only +1, you know. So keeping them focused on that, I think, is what's going to transition us. When that, and I think when it clicks, it's going to click. But I don't know yet. You know, every year's different. Like, culture is year to year. Like, tradition is different. Tradition is decades, right? But culture is year to year. Like, still trying to piece this team together with what we're going to be, like, how we're going to look. But, like, so to answer your question, we're somewhere between 2 and 3.
Okay.
I think we're somewhere between the back half of 2, beginning of 3.
So we had a coach tell us that Owen, basically the redheaded stepchild of Buncombe County. Do you think that's true? Or do you feel like you're on equal playground with
him? Well, he was talking about when the schedules were being made, when the decisions in the conference.
Yeah.
No one cares if we drive to a Murphy on a Thursday night, right?
Yeah. Well, an opinion's like a nose and everybody's got to pick one. It never bothers me what other people, like, do I want to be in a league with the other Buncombe County schools right now? No. I'm just not there. You know, like I'm going to be real. Like we're not in a situation where we can be competitive with that, with half of that conference.
Cause you don't play any Buncombe County schools.
Not this year. And we can get back to some scheduling questions, cause I've got some funny comments on that, but, you know, it just, I'm going to worry about Owen. That's it. I think there's some, I think there's great coaches in Buncombe County. A lot of guys that I respect, you know, shoot, I student taught for Brian Craig and Shane Laws, you know, I've known Rodney for forever. Me and Quarter getting closer. I remember Coach Sexton from when I was in college, cause I went to college with some guys from Irwin, like, you know, Coach Hines is grinding, you know, like they're grinding, trying to get better. So like, I'm not going to say, one way or the other about other people's programs and schedule, you know, as far as that, if we were going the redheaded stepchild thing, but man, I'm just going to focus on Owen. I'm going to try to get Owen the best that they can be, and we'll roll with that, you know?
So as far as scheduling, did you try to schedule some Buncombe County guys?
We had talked about it. Like, you know, there's just some things that couldn't really work out, you know? So, I believe it or not, when you stink, everybody wants to play you. You know, like you may find it hard to believe. So I called it the Owen lottery, right? Like at one point in time, I think I had 18 schools that had reached out to me about playing. Like, you know, I called it the Owen lottery. Who's going to win the lottery today? But again, my job is to put Owen in the best situation to be successful, because nobody else is going to watch after this program like I can. It's just not going to happen. And so, yeah, we fielded phone calls. I really didn't reach out to a ton of people. We had spoken with some Buncombe County and Henderson County schools about some games. It just didn't work out, you know.
I know in the past you played Inca and East, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah, you know, East Henderson, we were really interested in keeping that going. But, you know, I don't know if it's superintendent or whoever, but, you know, those guys are all going to have to play each other. And I just couldn't wait. Like, they didn't know, you know, because Hendersonville wasn't going to be in their league.
Right. All the Henderson County schools
play. They didn't know, you know, they were kind of wrapped up in a deal. I think they're playing Madison week two. They were already kind of, like, locked in that. And I just couldn't wait. You know, I've seen what happens to guys that, like, wait. And
then you're on the message board saying, Owen needs a week three game.
Yeah, and then you're playing Porter Ridge or somebody. You know, like, somebody don't make no sense, you know. So there was that, you know, we had talked to Inca about week one and, you know, continuing that going, but had the opportunity to play Rosman, you know, like.
That's a good fit.
You know, like, I hate to do that. I know playing in other county schools important, but it goes back to what we were talking about, right? Like, I got a 5A team or whatever that's sitting over here. And then, you know, I got Rosman, who I was in a 2-point game with, you know, and, you know, us in North Buncombe had kind of gone back and forth, but just the weeks didn't line up. You know, they had made a decision to put somebody in a certain slot, and I had already filled what they needed. So it just, you know, some things just don't work out. You know, or like, you know, other things you got to think of, right? Like, I think my first two conference games are on the road. Well, I didn't want to play two non-conference games on the road week three and four. And some guys need this and some guys need that. So I felt pretty good. Like when I looked at it, felt pretty good. We're going to get some JV games out of it. Like, you know, we've got a great test in there with West, you know, and I know Paul will take care of my kids if it goes one way or the other. Like, we got some competitive games we can be in. Yeah, you know, it just, for whatever reason, sometimes things just didn't work out.
What about a JV schedule this year? You going to fill a JV team?
Yeah, so right now, I believe we have 6 JV games scheduled. Okay.
Is JV still going to be 8th grade and 9th grade?
9th and 10th.
So it switched this year.
It switched last year. So that was one thing that I wanted to do, is I wanted to establish the middle school back and go to traditional JV. Just doing my research and talking to coaches that were kind of on both sides of it, I just kind of felt like we need to try this. You know, not saying it's the right way to do it. I ain't no mathematician, but I figured having 3 teams as opposed to 2 teams, guys are getting more reps, right? We're playing more football. We're getting more snaps. So, you know, Hendersonville and Polk, I believe, are going to carry traditional JV, so we'll play them in conference. And then the other 4, you know, besides Rosman, the other teams that we're going to play in non-conference are going to house JV teams as well. So, you know, we'll try to get 6. If we land on 5, it's not the end of the world. If we hit 6 and need one more, we'll make a couple phone calls and see what we can. We're just going to play football till we run out of quarters, you know.
Talking about running out of quarters, on the JV team, like, do you have some dudes coming up from 8th grade that's like a standout? Anything you've seen early on?
You know, it's a smaller class than I'd like to have. I wish it was a little bit bigger, you know, talking about the 8th graders coming up for whatever reason. You know, we don't have a phenomenal 9th grade class right there, but our sophomore class is so big that it can compensate, and we're slowly starting to balance out, right? We only had 3 seniors. So a lot of people don't know this, because I guess it would be something you kind of have to be in closed doors to really understand, but like...
Only you and Lewis know about it, evidently.
Lewis don't even know about this, but I was so adamant about playing JV games last year that the first 3 weeks, I only had like 16 quote-unquote varsity-only players, because I had kept a lot of kids that, if they weren't going to start, I kept them down, and with the idea of, we need to play snaps. We were so behind from just a football IQ snap standpoint that bumping Slade Gardner up to varsity as a freshman, even though he would have played 4 special teams and been a solid role player for us, I can let him go down to JV and be a 2-way starter, and he never comes off the field.
Which, by the way, he won the ACA game.
And he winds up catching the 2-point conversion in the ACA game. You know, so this year's a little bit different. We got a little bit more balance. My projected depth chart 2 years from now has 28 varsity player only, and they're all seniors and juniors. Complete opposite from last year, right? Like, we were looking at projected depth charts and numbers and stuff like that, trying to, again, progress. Where's the program going? I think that playing JV has helped, right?
Yeah, more reps. It's got to help, right?
It don't hurt.
So what have we not asked you about Owen football that you need to tell us?
Ah, man, you know, I mean, our kids work just as hard as everybody else, you know, like, I hear everybody, I hear what they say, and, you know, again, I don't get on a lot of message boards, I don't get us caught up into what other people say or think about, you know, our opinion of us or whatnot. Like, our kids know where the program's been the past 4 or 5 years.
It's not a secret.
Yeah, they're not blind and deaf, you know, but like our kids are working their butts off, man, just like everybody else, you know. They're grinding, they're trying to get better, they're trying to change the narrative, and No, I'm proud of him, man. I am proud to be the head football coach at Owen. I am, the past year has been the happiest I've been in my career.
Yes, yeah, so I was going to ask you, 12 months ago we sat in here and talked, and you said, Owen, that's where I want to be. That's my dream job.
This is it, man.
Still, this is obviously where you want to be.
You never want to say never, right? Like, I've been very blessed in my career.
You said unless the Steelers call, then
unless
you might
the Steelers
be gone.
Call, right? Like, I've been very blessed in my career. I've done a lot of stuff. I've checked a lot of boxes, but there ain't a whole lot of places where I can, like, from a family perspective, right? Like, I get to drop my kids off at school. I get to go eat lunch with them. It ain't nothing for me to like leave practice and go watch my son's baseball games, you know, and yell at the umpire, you know, who
don't be yelling at the baseball.
Who maybe people that I know. You know, I wanted this. I wanted a small community. I wanted something that felt like, you know, I grew up on the outskirts of Fayetteville in a small town, and like, I love it. Like, I love the community part of it, right? And then, Coach Cogdell, who's the head coach at Eastburg, we're really good friends. I was actually talking with him like 2 days ago, and you know, he's hit me with the, you know, you still like it, you know, all this. I was like, Chris, I just love my kids. Like, I like being around my players. Like, I like it. Like, I don't have turds. In our culture, they weed themselves out. They don't last. I'm like, we're not going to coddle you just because this has been what it has been. These are the expectations and standards. You have the choice to either perform at this level or not. You know, so like, I don't deal with a lot of problems. You know what the problems I deal with? A kid fell asleep in English class. That's the problem.
It was probably Steven, just saying.
Might have been. You know, Coach, I had to take a kid's cell phone today. All right, I got you. I'll take care of it. You know, like,
yeah, those aren't big problems.
When those are my problems,
yeah,
I'm okay. You know?
So you got any fundraisers, anything coming up we need to know about?
Oh, man, the infamous golf tournament.
I think everybody's got a golf tournament.
Oh, but man.
Where's yours at?
But
it's just the back nine, right?
I don't know what Kenny's got up his sleeve.
Hmm.
I don't know what he's got up his sleeve. Let me tell you about this golf tournament, okay?
Tell us.
If you have never been to a Kenny Ford ran golf tournament, you need to put that on your bucket list.
There's some great cart girls that go around.
We'll have to tell Carson about this. He's our golf guy.
Hey, I don't mean to brag. I know everybody else has got their golf tournaments or whatever, but and this is just Owen, right? This is the fraternity. Like, I spent the whole morning last year barbecuing with the mayor. Like, it's me and the mayor, Dagland barbecuing, and Roy Williams is at it. Brad Johnson's at it. Like, we've got. It's the who's who of alumni that have played for decades. You know, got guys telling stories about the 60s and stuff. Like, you know, I mean, it was one of the most fun days I've had on the job. You know, so that's a big one. You know, a lot of.
Where's it at?
Typically in Black Mountain.
Yeah, I was going to say, Black Mountain closed now?
Yeah.
Oh, well, no, they're back up. The back nine's back up.
The back nine's back open. Yeah.
Play it twice.
I think I could be mistaken. I think we're trying to push it to the fall. I could be wrong. Don't put my name on that. I think we're trying to push it to the fall. It's usually the last weekend of July. I think we're trying to push it in hopes that we can have a little bit better of a situation with it.
The only par six I've ever played, Black Mountain Golf Course.
Yeah. Was that 17?
Whichever one is the par six.
It's 17. It's 17.
Yeah. I don't know. I've actually only played golf there a handful of times.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It doesn't really.
I might have been there a few times.
I usually see people. You know, when you live where you work, it's kind of hard not to see people.
Which is new for you, right? Because you were driving from here.
Yeah, you know. To be honest with you, I think this is... when I was coaching down in high school in Georgia, I lived in the town that I worked in. But other than that, I've always kind of not... you know, done that. You know, I've always had some type of a commute.
Have you felt the small town, like in the grocery store? What are you doing, coach?
So Nathan Padgett.
Padgett, I umpired his senior league adult baseball field this
week. Oh, he was talking all about that back in June about his adult league.
They complained my strike zone was too small, Lewis. That's hard to believe, but they did.
Mike normally calls a strike about that far off the ground.
Come on.
Hey, but they swing the bats, don't they?
Yeah. Just come up here to hit the ball. It don't matter what.
Hey, y'all can correct me if I'm wrong. Has anybody ever gotten the Hall of Fame for, like, walks?
No.
Right. Swing the bat, right?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So Nathan Padgett, one of the first conversations him and I ever had, he said, you wait, man. He's like, if you lose, you go into Ingles, it's going to take you 30 minutes. He said, when you win... it's going to take you like 2 hours.
So after the ACA game.
Oh, man. I think because I have it on a weekday, I didn't get... there was a lot of things I didn't get to enjoy. Like, my kids, God bless their hearts, they tried to dump the water cooler on me and they grabbed the cooler that had already been empty, you know? I didn't get to experience it because it was on a Tuesday night. I didn't need to go grocery shopping, you know?
All right. Well, Coach, we appreciate you coming out, interviewing with us. Last year you said it was your first podcast. Have you been on a podcast since?
I don't know. I'd have to think about it. A couple radio things here and there, but this is, I believe this is the only time that I sit around a table and, you know, get to just talk.
Well, we appreciate you coming, and we look forward to doing it again.
Absolutely.
Guys, thanks for joining us this week. We got more coaches interviews coming up. Lewis, send us out of here.